Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for July 22nd. It's brought to you in part by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me in Tokyo is Jim Allen. How's it going, man?
It is going very well. I had a nice rare day off today after my long week.
Lucky you!
I know.
I was trapped on mounds of work.
Wow.
And no baseball. Can you imagine you got to work and there's, well, I could watch the major league stuff in the morning, but after that it was just like election stuff here and election stuff there.
Wow. I was out enjoying the nice day. I had to, you know, met with a friend of ours and we, you know, had coffee and sat outside in the park and came back and
stop bragging. You're killing me.
Wow. Homicide by manslaughter by something. I don't know how that works.
Bragging. Yeah. All right.
By bragging. Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Hey, I got bragging rights.
You got bragging rights. And you did another interview for us, which was great. And you have bragging rights on that as well. We've got an interview this week with Craig Brazell of the Lotte Marines. We're going to discuss the All-Star Series and talk about the CL and PL races. So let's get started.
Clearing the bases!
All right, the season is about halfway through, but if you live in the United States and would like to see the CL pennant race play out in the second half, go to oneworldsports.com and find out how to watch Giants games live.
Okay, on Wednesday, I went out to the Q.
The Q. Or
the V or the C or the QBC Marine Field. And, you know, to have a chat with my guys on the Hawks and the Marines and talk to a lot of people. It was a great day. We had thunder and all kinds of rain in the middle of the game. But it was a fun game. And it was a lot more fun because of Craig Brazell. Now, Craig has had he's had the biggest ups and the lowest downs since he's been here. He first came here with the Cebu Lions in 2008.
Mm-hmm. Hit a bunch of home runs in the first half of that season.
He did, but he finished the season batting .234 with a head injury that he got from being hit in the head with a pitch. Mm-hmm. And he was having dizziness and bleeding and all kinds of things. And he did not play in the Japan series that was won by the Cebu Lions. And to add insult to injury, he was released. Okay, so then he goes back and to the States, and he's playing with the independent St. Paul Saints,
mm-hmm.
which he described as a marvelous experience. I don't know if we've had him on the show talking about it, but it sort of lit a fire in him, reminded him of why he was playing baseball. Mm-hmm. Of course, at that time, he was 28 years old, so he wasn't that far removed from some of the guys he was playing with, you know, 10 years or 9 years.
True.
But, okay, so that happens, and in mid-season, the Hanshin Tigers come, and he signs with the Hanshin Tigers, and instead of 236, he's hitting 296, and he stays there right around 300 for a few years, and the next year hits 47 home runs, and then they change the ball on him. He keeps hitting for average. His home runs go down. Last year, the Tigers are a mess, and basically the team started looking for scapegoats about May.
Yeah.
And they found...
We talked about that on the show.
Sure, sure. Then they found Matt Merton, and then they found Craig Brazell, and...
Look here.
Yeah, well, that, you know, he said he was hitting 270 at the time. I can't verify that, but we'll give Craig the benefit of the doubt. And he said, you're not playing anymore. Well, at the end of the season, he was hitting 233. He never walks a lot. So if he hits 290, 300, he's productive because he hits a bunch of home runs.
Right.
When he hits 230 and he draws 25 walks a year. Yeah. Right. Okay. So anyway, so that's the story on Craig Brazell. He was released. He went back to St. Paul and the Marines picked him up. Okay. Now, what you don't know is that he hit a home run the night before, we sat down and chatted.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked about that a little bit, and he had talked a little bit about his batting stance that he modified in St. Paul. So why don't we listen to what Craig has to say?
Hi, and our guest this week on the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast is the new former Seibu Lion, former Hanshin Tiger, former St. Paul Saints, Squared, and current and newest member of the Chiba Lotte Marines, Craig Brazell. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. How you doing?
Doing great out here. Hopefully if it doesn't start with thundering and lightning.
Yeah, it does look like I think there's a little bit of chance of precipitation in the forecast for us.
Precipitation, big word, man.
Yeah.
I'll leave those up to you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you hit your congratulations, first Pacific League home run in a long time.
Yeah, it definitely was. I mean, had a couple in interleague, but I don't think those count. But I guess that's number 28 for the Pacific League.
Okay, well, it's time to start over.
Yeah.
Starting over seems to be your theme this year.
Definitely is. You know, it was a tough road getting back here, but I'm definitely happy to be back here.
Okay, now, you said before that you were about on the edge of giving up baseball. Well, now, what was going on there? You were back playing independently ball in the States?
Yeah, it was, you know, it wasn't the baseball side of it. It was, I think, just the being away from the family, the bus rides, from being such accustomed to playing in front of 35,000-40,000 fans to go to 2,000,
okay,
to bad fields, horrible bus rides, and then just the different style of baseball that I'd grown accustomed to playing, and it had gotten a little tough on me where it was almost in my mind, you know what, it's getting close to time.
Okay, it was wearing on you?
Everything was starting to wear on me, and then kind of being away from home in the U.S.
Okay.
And my family flying in, flying out all the time, it was very difficult on
okay.
me.
Okay. Now, what brought you back to the Independent League after you were released by the Tigers last year? Obviously, last year was a weird, weird season with Hanshin.
It was, you know, I mean, you go back to the July of last year when it all started. I think I was hitting 270 when it all happened, and they just came in and said, "You're not playing." No reasoning, no nothing. It was just that straight bullet shot me.
Yeah.
And I kind of bit that bullet and just wore it all year. Didn't complain, didn't say a word, because I didn't want other teams over here thinking, "Oh, this guy's got a bad attitude,"
right,
or anything like that. So I just kind of went about my business and did what I had to do. And then when I went home, you know, I had that thought that, you know what, maybe I can catch on back over here,
okay,
and maybe get an invite to spring training. But that wasn't happening this last year.
There weren't any offers from
there
teams.
Were no offers, nothing. And so it just kind of turned into, you know what, I'm going to swallow my pride one last time and go back to St. Paul.
Okay.
So I had a good relationship with the manager.
Sure.
And kind of had the opportunity to go in as a player coach there.
You had a real good experience there about 5 years
mm-hmm.
ago.
So I knew I would be all right going there. The manager would leave me alone, let me play. And, you know, I got to do a little bit of teaching on
okay.
the side too, which, you know, it kind of brings a different side of the game out in you and gets you to think a little bit more about what you're doing yourself as a player. So I think that was one of the big things that helped me kind of struggle, not on the field, but just mentally getting through everything over there.
My friend Kenichi Yazawa mentioned to you the other, you know, a little while back that he noticed you had made a slight adjustment to your batting stance.
Mm-hmm.
And can you tell us a little bit about that and how that came about?
That came about because of St. Paul.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of kids there. They throw hard, but they don't know where it's going. So it almost got to the point where I had to spread out my stance a little bit and just shorten my swing up, because when I did get a pitch to hit, I had to hit it because I may not get another one for 3 days.
Okay.
And so that was kind of, it was not mechanical or anything. It was just pretty much spreading my feet out a little bit more and using my hands, and kind of almost taken as if I'm doing my two-strike approach the whole time.
Okay, and you just, because that's the way you've been hitting, you carried that right into Chiba?
Yeah, it just came in. I mean, occasionally I go back a little bit taller on certain pitchers, but I just try to keep going back to just doing what I was doing there, keeping it simple, and just see the ball, hit the ball is one of the big things I've been
all
doing.
Right. Yeah, one of my colleagues who watches a lot of the Marine games was telling me that you've been hitting the ball really well since you got here, and that he was surprised you hadn't hit a home run yet.
Yeah, it was surprising to me too, you know, because of course I want to hit the home run,
right.
But then again, I'm not going to complain going out getting a couple hits every night and just getting on base. So, and I mean, I knew the type of hitter I am.
Sure.
I knew it would come.
Okay.
You know, I hit one in Sapporo off the top of the wall in dead center field, and it was a long single.
Yeah.
But that's just part of the game. Mm-hmm. As soon as I start trying to hit home runs, I won't hit them.
Okay. Well, it's got to – how good does it feel to have them just say you're in the lineup?
It's a great feeling, you know, to be back here, and because Chief is a team that, you know, I've always played against them. I've always loved actually coming here just to see their fans, how crazy they are.
Yep.
And now for them to give me this opportunity to come back, and it's greatly appreciated, and I'm going to try to do the best and make the most out of it.
Well, thank you for being with us this week, and I'll let you go run off and get some food.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks so much.
No problem.
I appreciate it.
All right. Well, Craig, thank you once again. It was great to see you. Great to see you. What came after that interview?
Yeah, good. Thank you very much, Craig. And yeah, it was good to hear your voice. And I did see him at his introductory press conference, so I did get to shake his hand then and say hello. But it'd be good to talk to him in uniform. That was before he got his visa.
That's correct. So now he's got his visa. He's got his number. He's wearing 32. And anyway, so what did you think about what he had to say?
Well, I thought it was pretty ironic or pretty coincidental. I don't know which one, but you go out there and you talk about him hitting a home run, and he hits two that night.
Yeah.
And one of them, and there are two things about this long home run, this mammoth, prodigious shot that he hits off the back wall at the cue there.
Wasn't off the back wall, baby.
It wasn't off the back wall, but it looked like that on TV.
It hit the rim of the stadium.
Oh, okay. That, to me, I mean, that's the back wall.
No, it's like...
I guess it's above the back wall.
There's a roof. There's a roof over the... There's a roof that's about 110 feet above the surface of the field.
Yeah.
And it hit the front, the facing on that, just below where the lights are. The lights are put right on top of that. That's the... You can't hit it any higher and... Well, 10 more feet, it would have been the second home run hit out of QVC.
Right. So you guys sit down and talk about home runs, and then he bangs two, including this thing. And what I really liked about that home run when he hit it is he put his head down, and he just started running because he knew he had crushed the ball.
Right.
And if you see the replays, he just puts his head down like it's a fly out to right, and he gets around the bases. I thought it was indicative of how he respects the game.
Mm-hmm.
And how he feels about being back in Japan. He doesn't want to, just like he said in the interview, he didn't want to ruffle any feathers or step in any toes and make people, dislike him or burn any bridges so that he mm-hmm. wouldn't be able to come back. And I don't know about the interview so much. There were some things that stood out for me, but it just really sounded like he was genuinely happy.
Oh, yeah, you
to
think?
To be back. Yeah, you think? You know, I mean, I've seen a couple of images on him in the dugout, and he's just got a smile that I've never seen on him. I mean, he's been happy before, and I've seen him smiling, but this one looks different. I remember him with the Tigers, and I remember him with the Lions, of course, and this smile that he has on his face, it just looks so much more genuine. And he had already learned the home run celebrations with the Marines and everything. I'm really happy for him. I mean, other than I hope he continues to hit, and that's what I was surprised about is that his average was so high.
Sure.
And he hadn't hit any home runs. He hadn't hit with power, because that's obviously why the Marines got him. They don't want him to go station to station. They want him to get extra bases and
yeah,
be comfortable in that lineup.
Yeah, they probably said, stop trying to hit 497. You should try to hit, you know, you should hit more home runs.
Like they said to Dr. Gail Hopkins, yeah, don't worry about it. Or they're going to change their philosophy, though, right, in midstream again.
Your average is too high.
Your average is too high. You're high. So I remember with him with the Tigers, I think he had a bad wheel. I'm pretty sure it was a hamstring that he injured at some point, and he couldn't run very well. And he would hit some ground balls, and he wasn't able to get to first base. And I think they just took him out of the lineup at first for that reason. And I think he expected to get back into the lineup. I might be remembering it incorrectly, or as Mr. Roger Clemens says, misremembering. But I kind of remember he had a bad wheel. So maybe the timing on remembering that was off or not. Hopefully it was what I remember. But, you know, he's got to be I mean, this is why I said that, you know, Alex Ramirez should be happy about what's happening to him, because most of the time when a foreigner doesn't hit, this is what happens, you know, or that Hanshin situation with Craig Brazell is what happens. You get taken out of the lineup, and then pretty soon you find yourself on the farm, and pretty soon you find yourself with a suitcase in your hand. So, I mean, yeah.
Well, Ramichan's now on the farm.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So I don't know what to be happy about.
Maybe it's step one, but the one comment in the interview that really stood out for me was the fact that he said with all the young pitchers who really throw hard, it forced him to change his stance a little bit, change his approach, and then he said it might be 3 days before he got a pitch to hit.
Yeah, well, welcome. It's like being back in Japan.
Well, I think he must have spent a lot of time ducking and moving out of the way of some pitches, it sounds like.
Yeah, I got that impression. Well, we didn't discuss it on the tape, but one of the things was during the interview, one of the things he was talking about was the difference between him being 28 and 30, I guess 33.
Mm-hmm.
33 when he was in St. Paul, it was like they were all a bunch of, I don't want to put words in his mouth, so I'll skip it, but that age gap was much more noticeable this time around. And he said it was driving him nuts, all these kids who just, you know, coming from Japan, and he was in a situation, coming and having played in Japan for 4 years, 5 years.
Right.
It was 5 years. And then, you know, where there's the utmost respect for the game, there's almost a hyper-exaggerated respect for the game going to a bunch of kids who didn't really see it the way he saw it. And mm-hmm. that age gap sort of magnified those differences. And it was kind of a maddening experience for him. But, you know, he stuck with it through a lot of things. And he made it back to the Marines, and you know, I'm really happy for him. And I'll tell you a couple of things about that night. First of all, you know, he said, you know, he's not we know you can't, if you try to hit a home run, mm-hmm. or if you try to throw really, really hard, you end up tightening up and not throwing as hard as you normally do. If you try to hit a home run, you end up doing the wrong things. So it's the first one, and the first one was a blast. Now, the first one that he hit to the opposite field, it wasn't hit that deep, but it was hit fairly high to the opposite field into a very strong wind that held it up. Mm. So it was, it dropped in about the sixth or seventh row, pretty much straight away left field.
That's interesting because, you know, Tadahito Iguchi, when I interviewed him and I asked him about the wind, he said, well, going to left field, the wind kind of helps the ball that way, that direction. But it does kind of swirl in that stadium sometimes. So
it does. It normally blows straight in from center field on ground level, and it hits the backstop and does a U-turn. So it's really weird. There's like the wind's going in one direction at one, 20, 15 feet off the ground, and 40 feet off the ground, it's going in another direction. So anyway, without too much about that. So he hit that one, and then he hit the other one, which he said the wind really helped. And afterwards he's saying, you know, I can't focus on home runs. And then his next time up, he's facing, the kid with the host club hair, Morifuku. Masahiko Morifuku. He's got that little cute little host club wave.
I like to call it a flock of seagulls, but I think that'll date me even more, so I won't say it. Oh wait,
I ain't gonna date you, John, and I only know about flock of seagulls. you could put 100 of those in a single seagull. He's a left-handed side armor, and Brazell's a left-handed hitter, and basically he got all sliders away, and you know, foot out of the zone, and Greg was going, yeah, two home runs, give me three, baby, give me three.
Right.
He says, oh
right.
Yeah, I'm a, you know, I don't try to hit home runs, but yeah, and I hit two, I want another one.
I want another one. Yeah.
He said, in my swing, you know, looking at my swing, you could see that, which, I just confirmed with him. Okay, so anyway, the final note on that is, after his interview with the media,
mm-hmm.
about a half hour after the game, we're just chatting, and I'm headed back to the press box, and he's sort of dawdling around, and he sees his wife and his son, in the little, lobby area at Chiba Marine Stadium, and his son comes running up, running up to him. And now when the media was asking him his questions, he said, they said, did you talk to your son after you hit your first home run? He said, no, he was asleep. I guess he'd gone to Disneyland and he was tired. He says, Disneyland's more important than daddy's home, daddy's baseball game.
Right. Right.
He said, but tonight my wife and my son were here and they could see my home run. So yeah, of course I'm happy, you know, and then he goes out and his son said, daddy, how was your game?
He was sleeping at the park too.
He said, were you playing video games?
Oh no.
So, you know, but it was sweet. It's such a cute little boy, and Craig's face, you know, lit up when he saw him. So it was a great scene. It was a fun game. It was a good moment. Glad Craig's back and hitting the ball hard. And
yeah, he's hitting 467, you know, it's limited time, but that's great for him. 8 games.
Yeah.
And he's helping.
Yeah, what's
the
matter? He can't hit 500?
Yeah. he's not seeing the ball well yet. You got to give him some time. He still probably hasn't gotten acclimated to the...
He's hitting too many balls right at guys. I think that's the problem.
Oh, stop it. Poor Alonso. He's just never going to get over it.
I wasn't going to make an allusion to that, but it happens to everybody.
But the thing is, that, you know, and I've been complaining, and I still think Lotte, I think their pitching is going to peter out a little bit. They're already, I think... Actually, I'm looking at the numbers now. They have the highest ERA in the Pacific League, which kind of shocks me because they have such good guys in the bullpen. But I still think they're going to falter down the stretch, and I think they're going to need his run production if they're going to get close or if they're going to stay in the contention for first place. I think they're going to need his run production. They're doing okay in home runs, 54 home runs. That's probably right in the middle of the pack. Nippon Ham, interestingly enough, has 71 home runs to lead the Pacific League, but we know why. I mean, Sho Nakata and Michel Abreu are just they've got just about half of the team home runs, it looks like. But
the Marines, you know, are kind of, well, if you take a lot of action over the season, things don't always balance out, you know, other than the number of wins totals, which every league is always at 500. Well, I can't say every league is at 500 because we have interleague, and the Pacific League's never at, always above 500.
Feasting period.
Indeed. We're still hungry. We haven't finished the last game yet.
Yeah.
So, okay. But the Marines, what I want to say is, while the Marines' number of runs scored or number of runs allowed is not that good,
the
component parts of their offense have been pretty good.
Yeah.
And their offense and defense, the balance has actually been quite good. The fact is that it hasn't showed up on the scoreboard is interesting. But, you know, if you're getting all the parts, you know, it's just a matter of time before, you know, you get the runs to go with it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm kind of talking out of off my head in that case, but I'm saying that they've basically done the right things, but they haven't got the results for it. And you know, that happens, you know, so they've been hitting statistically they've been hitting the ball at people.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been saying all along, they battle, they force pitchers to get the ball over the plate, they take good swings, they get on base, they're hitting 267 as a team, and the only team hitting higher than that in the Pacific League is the SoftBank Hawks. So, you know, they're doing fine in those respects, but if they want to win the Pacific League title, I think they're going to have to pitch better, and they're going to have to score better. I mean, the run differential there are -7, so they're going to have to score... They're going to have to score these runs because I don't think they're going to keep people – I don't think they're going to shut people out going down the stretch. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. But
yep.
But thanks a lot for going out and doing the interview. I appreciate it. Thank you to Craig. It was good to hear his voice. And like I said, I'll be seeing him at a park hopefully soon the next time I get out to one. let my people go.
Yes. Let my brother go.
Especially me. All right. Well, let's go on. Let's go on and talk about the All-Star game. Now, let's talk about game one first.
Okay.
I think this game will be forever known as the Shohei Ohtani Showcase game.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because this was the one that I've been waiting for his manager to do in a regular season game, which is have him pitch and have him play in the field in the same game. In fact, you know, one of the pitchers I talked to on the team says he thinks Ohtani could be the closer because it wouldn't take him that long to warm up, just stroll in from right field and shut down the game. He's only going to throw fastballs anyway.
but having said that, he's got a hell of a curve.
No.
You didn't see it in the All-Star game when he threw 13 fastballs, but in his second start, he had a real wicked curve. You know, it was out of this world.
Yeah.
But
we know he can pitch. I mean,
right.
Yeah. Without a doubt, we know he can pitch, and he can be a starting pitcher. It's not even a question. The only question is how long and how far can he go as a hitter.
I would do that the other way around. I would say the question is, what can he do as a pitcher? Because we've seen what he can do as a hitter.
No, but I think, and you talked about it before, I think if he goes to the States, he's going to have to pick one. I think Japan, this team is letting him do what he wants.
Right. No, he's going to have to pick one, but here's the thing, and I think this is it. The paradox, it is a paradox, because I think the best, having seen him hit and having seen him pitch, I think that his maximum career potential
mm-hmm.
would have been to go to the States as a position player. But here's the problem with that. They don't want him as a position player. So if he stays a position player, he won't make it to he's less likely to make it to the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be his maximum potential. I would prefer to see him as a position player. Why? Because position players don't get hurt all the time, and a good number of pitchers, because of what pitching does to you and
right.
requires of you, get hurt. Their careers tend to be, you know, the great ones are great ones because often they're the ones who can avoid injuries. Now, sometimes it's their doing and sometimes it's not. The pitchers get hurt a lot. Okay. So having said that, I think basically he has to decide, you know, and I think they're going to let him decide, but yeah, if he wants to go to the majors, it'll be as a pitcher. But, you know, I think his best career is to be a hitter. I think he's got much, much more career value as a hitter than as a pitcher.
Okay. Well, he really, you know, and I was pretty much against him being an all-star. I didn't think the fans should have voted him in, but
look,
I know we talked about this before, so it's not a big deal. I think the fans, I'm here to say, I think the fans did the right thing because it made for an exciting game.
Okay. I mean,
everybody kept saying it's for the fans. This is about the fans, this and fan that. And he got in and he made the game exciting. It was a 1-1 tie. It was almost as bad as that joke of a home run hitting contest that they had, in which in the final, Tony Blanco won it 1-0 because Shohei Nakata couldn't hit a line drive over the fence. He kept hitting line drives in front of the fence. It was pretty pathetic. So,
well, it was, agreed. Yeah. But as far as what he did in the game, you know, that's the fans had no way of knowing that. I mean, I can't give the fans credit for picking a guy who's going to play well in the game.
No, I don't think he even played that well in terms of what he did in the field. He pitched okay. I mean, he got two quick outs and then he gave up a couple hits. He did what he usually does, which is he throws fastballs, and if guys can time them, if they can pick location, they're sitting on them, they can get good contact, and sometimes they hit them where they ain't,
well,
so they get a hit out of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, he didn't give up a run.
Well, they weren't good fastballs, the ones that got hit. They were flat and, you know, they were straight as string. But but again, you know, if that's what the fans want, fine. But the fans didn't put him in the game. The fans only voted him onto the team. It's not like the majors where he would have been starting in right field.
Yeah, exactly. My point was going to be, the fans voted him in as an outfielder, and immediately his manager put him on the mound first.
Sure.
You know, he did eventually put him in the outfield, but he said, see, fans, I think this is what he's going to be as a pitcher, and that's where I'm going to put him. You guys made a mistake.
And that's why in game two, whose mistake was it that he started in left field or in right field?
Well, no, then he'd already pitched, so there was nothing else to do but to put him in the outfield. So it was good. So you want to talk about game two? Now, game two was a much better game in terms of having a score and an outcome and a real MVP instead of a guy who threw three scoreless innings more than someone else did.
They picked the guy who didn't trip over his own feet. Wait, this guy's still standing. Give him an MVP.
Yeah, he walked out to the mound. He didn't give any runs up, and he walked back three times.
Indeed.
That's a round trip.
I'm going to give you a short digression. When I was growing up, listening to San Francisco Giants baseball games on KNBR, they used to have a Giants play of the game. Now, it was always a big highlight. Well, one game, they usually saved it for the sixth, seventh inning. Well, one day the Giants were getting their heads handed to them by some team. It was probably, you know, some like the Houston Astros, the Montreal Expos were beating them 15 to nothing or something. And it looked like the Giants' play of the game was in serious trouble of not having one. So one of the Giants hit a ball to the warning track. That's your Giants' play of the game.
Nice.
And that was the, I saw him All-Star. Hey, this guy's still breathing. Give him the All-Star.
Hey, it was an exciting moment for just a moment.
So anyway, too, we had a lot more entertaining performances, and we had some, you know, comic relief.
Well, the entertaining performances, I thought, were all those rookies. Tatsunori Hara, the Giants manager, sent out to the mound. I thought it was really impressive on the Central League's part, and I think the future is bright for pitching in the Central League as long as these guys are around. Tomoyuki Sugano started it off. He's the Giants rookie. Ryan, I'm going to call him Ryan Ogawa because that's what everybody's calling him in the newspapers, but Ryan Ogawa was very sharp. After Ogawa was his teammate Taichi Ishiyama, and he pitched an inning, struck out two. And then Shintaro Fujinami of the Hanshin Tigers, who came up for two innings. So with those guys, I really think the future is bright for some of these teams in the Central League in terms of these guys pitching. And I think that was on full display in game two. And I was excited about it. I like the Central League, and I'm glad they won.
Well, I thought, you know, what I liked was bringing out Fujinami now. We had a scene in game one when Ohtani batted against Daisuke Miura, who's 20 years older than he is.
Mm-hmm.
And Miura got, okay, first of all, I have to backtrack. The batter before Ohtani was his teammate Sho Nakata of the Fighters. And on one pitch, Miura threw him an Ephus pitch, a big high arcing pitch that dropped through the strike zone, and he swung and missed at it. And so it was a work of art. Okay, well, he got Ohtani out on the same pitch. He made contact with it, and he hit a clunker comebacker. So anyway, so that was fun in game one. Okay, the next day, Fujinami comes up, and he's facing
Nakata.
He's facing Sho Nakata, and they went to the same high school, Osaka Chōin High School.
Right.
So, and Nakata was also a pitcher at Chōin at Osaka Chōin. And he tried to do what Miura did, which is throw this big Ephus pitch, except obviously he didn't have much experience throwing it. So he threw it over the catcher, Motonobu Tanishige's head into the backstop. That was pitch one. And Nakata sort of played along. He held his bat up there like he was looking for a fly to swat on the ceiling. And then the next pitch, he did it again, except this time he threw it over his head. He threw it over Nakata's head.
It went behind him.
It was about 6 feet over his head. And Nakata dropped the bat and made like he was going to charge them out.
Yeah, I was listening on the radio when I got home and actually watched it on TV. It looked a little better than it was described on the radio, but still. Yeah, well, you know, the comic relief was good. A 3-1 win for the Central League. They're going to play on Monday night and finish up the series. I'm not sure anybody will be watching by Monday night because they'll all be tired.
Well, they'll get a full crowd in Green Stadium in Iwaki.
Definitely.
And the good thing about Game 3 is they tend to be the fastest All-Star games played because all these guys want to get out of there ASAP. And, you know, and just quit it and get back to the season as quickly as they can. So I do believe that they have a pool because, you know, I think all the Japanese players are throwing, you know, money into a pool and that they divvied up among the guys who put the first pitch in play.
Yeah, swing at the first strike, baby.
And I think it's only a Japanese thing because yesterday Tony Blanco scored the tying run after drawing an 8-pitch walk in the second inning.
Yeah.
So obviously, hey, Tony, hold on. We haven't explained the rules to you or what?
Wow. All right, well, the All-Star games are fun and entertainment, and it's good to see that happening. Let's move on and talk about where our teams are in the grand scheme of things in the Central League. Now, I picked the Giants to win. And so did you, I believe.
Yep.
They have the best rotation. Probably not by much. I think the Tigers pretty much line up with them. But from top to bottom, I think the Giants have the best rotation. The revolving door at second base right now is occupied by Daisuke Nakai, who's really excelling, and so that's helping them. And they won 2 out of 3 at Koshien just before the All-Star break. I think the reasons that they might not win the Central League might be their pitching. It breaks down. Miyaguni has had his troubles. The bullpen is at times shaky, but I still like my pick. What about you?
I still like the Giants. I think they're the best team. They're the best team in the Central League. So I think the chances are good. Their lead is slim, however. The Tigers are, I think the Tigers are bound to be more relaxed. They've played a really relaxed game this year. I think they're not missing Fukudome at all.
No, not at all.
Does anybody remember he was with the Tigers this year?
What?
So,
yeah.
Exactly. What are you trying to say, buddy? You too. Okay. Now, so I like the Giants, but I think the Tigers, I'd give them maybe a 30-40% chance of walking away with this thing.
Yeah, I look at the Tigers' rotation. I think it's they're top three. Stat-wise, I think it's the best in Japan. And the team scores
are the number four guy is Fujinami, so he's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and they score enough runs. I think that'll be their focus in the second half is to try to score more runs. But I had them finishing fifth, so that's obviously a strikeout for me. And I think they're built for the playoffs, though. I think this team, when you go 1-2-3 in a playoff situation, I think that's really tough. But it'll be key if they're in round one, if they have to expend those top three guys to get through the first round and then come back with tired guys at the end of a series against the Giants per se, just assuming the Giants win for argument's sake, in that second round, I think that'll be difficult. She proved last season that it's possible.
Yeah, the Giants looked like they came in, figured they were going to beat whoever Chunichi threw out there. Wait, hold on a second. We're down 3-0.
Well, 3-1, but they hadn't won anything on the field.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when you talk about the leagues, I think you have to ask, I think I have two questions for both of the, each league. And the first question is, can this team, if they keep doing what they have been doing, can they be in the hunt at the end? Can they be in the hunt for the number one? Let's forget the pennant, right? The playoffs. And my answer is Giants, yes. Tigers, yes. Everybody else in the Pacific League, yeah, one of those teams, except the Swallows, is going to be there.
Well, they have to be by rule, but I look at the Dragons, and I said early on when they were dragging behind everybody and they were in last place, and somebody sent me an email, your Dragons are in last place, and I said, you know, it's 1 month into the season, you know, that doesn't really mean anything. You know, they swept the Giants in a 3-game series at home, granted, just before the All-Star break, and they're pretty solid. They're in third right now, but they're 9 or 10 games under 500. I mean, it's a weird team. They lost their ace. They lost Daniel Cabrera, who was dominant early, and they still keep trucking along a little bit. I think Hector Luna has got a bad knee. They're keeping him on the sideline. I still think they're just weird, but they have the potential to be. I mean, if they're number 7 starter and Daisuke Yamai is going to throw a no-hitter, number 7, number 8, I mean, he was a sometimes, you know, call him when everybody else is out kind of a guy.
He was their closer last year.
And he was their closer last year. I mean, if he's going to throw a no-hitter and he's won 3 games for them recently, you know, you don't know what they can do. There's hidden potential there. So I still see them finishing third.
I think okay, so the first question, that was the first question for me, is if this team keeps doing what they're doing, can they be in the hunt? I think just basically the Giants and Tigers are the only two we can say yes about.
Sure.
But, and then the next question is, can anybody be significantly better? And the only team in the Central League that I think which could be significantly better in the second half is the Hiroshima Carp.
Hmm.
And will that be enough? You know, who knows in this league, but I think they have a chance to be a lot better. Just basically, I'll tell you a couple of things. Now, we like to, let me take me out of this equation. John likes to carp on Hiroshima's defense.
Or harp
or whatever other rhyme you can insert in there. But the fact is, the Hiroshima carp's problem on defense, and it's really one problem, is that they drop balls and they throw a few balls away. The carp catch, and this happened last year as well, they catch a lot of balls. They are right now a very, very good, except for the errors, they are a very good defensive team. I think they are quite good. They also have a lot of team speed. They're very good at the double play. I actually like their defense quite a bit. As you pointed out, their pitching staff has some plus sides to it, and I think that may help. That may show up. I think they have just as at the beginning of the season, I thought they had the potential to develop into a monster with all these young kids.
Okay.
I don't still see that, but I think they are the team that is underrepresented by their place in the standings right now. I think they're a much better team than they've played so far.
Yeah, I agree. Their defense is good. They play good defense. What I said last time was that they were unclutch, if there was such a word, and that when the game is on the line, they seem to tighten up. And I think that's what Nicolaio was talking, last week on last
right.
week's show. Cam Nicolaio was saying that. I don't know whether he was directing those comments toward the pitchers or toward the hitters in particular, but I think it's a team-wide situation where people get tight, and that's all I meant. I didn't mean that their defense was terrible all along. Just when they need to make plays on the defensive side.
It has been in the past. I'll be honest. The Cardinals' defense in the past 2 years has been horrible.
Yeah, but they can pick the ball for sure. No doubt about it. But when the game is on the line, they don't make plays. The catcher dropped the ball the other day against the Dragons on a sure out, and it was a one hopper, and I think it was Ishihara who just dropped the ball. And you can't make plays like that. You got to make those plays late. Now the Bay Stars, I picked them to finish out of last. I think I picked them to finish in the playoffs. Actually,
I think they're going to finish. I'm going to pick them to finish out of last because I picked the Tigers last. So I think that one's out the window.
Right.
I think the Swallows are. are rapidly plummeting.
They are, but the thing about the Bay Stars pitching staff is they have three guys, just like Alex Ramirez said, they have three guys who we kind of know what they're going to do, and then the other three, it's the life is a box of chocolates, Forrest Gump pitching staff, but I really don't think you have any idea what's going to go on out there. So sometimes you might get a good one, sometimes you're going to get a bad one. I think if they can get some steady pitching from anybody over the next 2 months, I think that's enough to get them out of last place. The Swallows, I predicted they would finish fourth. I believe they're in
last
place at the moment, but I don't know. With Ogawa and Ryan Ogawa and Coco, I think they can get out of last place, but I don't know who they're going to beat to do.
I don't know. And the reason why I don't is because the Swallows' success in the past. Now, I know you can't, project anything from the past, but their success in the past under Ogawa and before that under Takada was based on pitching and defense. The Swallows had the best defense in the Central. Well, I would say in the last 4 years, the Swallows had the best defense in the Central League. This year, without a doubt, the Swallows' defense is the worst in Japan. It is bad with a capital B. I mean, some of that's luck. Some of the numbers are luck. But the number of errors, their poor ability to turn double plays, their poor ability to pick balls. I don't know what. Are the balls just missing them? I doubt it's that big of a team thing. Something is a problem there. It can turn around. The same thing at the beginning of the season. The Fighters were really bad. And I watched them, and they were as bad as they looked and the numbers looked. But the Fighters have turned things around as Micah Hoffpower predicted they would.
All right. Well, let's go to the Pacific League. Now, I said on our little sheet here when I was prepping for the show, I said, what's up with the Hawks? Or rather, what's down with them? Because they really – I think I overrated their pitching, their whole rotation, first of all, but their pitching staff as a whole, because some of the relievers haven't been doing what we've expected them or what we've seen in the past for them and what we've come to expect for them. So
right.
You know, are the Eagles for real? Can the Marines and the Lions hang on and stay in the race for a strong finish? I'm looking at the Hawks and I'm seeing a rotation that I'm ready to give up on. The defense is sometimes mediocre. In fact, it's substandard. And I don't know if you saw this play that they had at Chiba, at the Q the other day, QBC, where they threw the ball around on a single.
Yep, I was there.
And let the run come all the way across the plate.
The throw.
I don't want to get into the particular.
It was from
the
set, basically,
the catcher. Threw
the ball to the wall in center field, and Takashi Ogino scored from second.
So it's no surprise that they're, you know, struggling and under 500. What do you see then?
I see exactly the opposite. I see exactly the opposite. I saw the play. They are shaky, like the Carp are a little shaky. But again, the actual raw numbers, I like the Hawks defense. I think the Hawks defense is very, very solid. That they had a bad game, that they've had a few bad days, yeah.
No, that defense was, I think their defense is mediocre. I mean, all around.
I would say their defense is the best in Japan.
Really?
Yep. I would say their defense is the best in Japan. Now, they're without Honda, which is going to hurt them a little bit. But, you know, I like their defense better than anybody's. Now, basically based on three things. They turn double plays, they catch the ball, and they don't make errors. Well, they made a couple the other day, but, you know.
In general, I know what you mean.
So in terms of comparing them to everybody else, nobody has done that with the consistency that the Hawks have this year.
Okay.
So I would put the problems, if – the problems as they are more on the pitching side than the defense side. The pitching, however, yes, has been, Setsu has been a problem. You know, it's hard to say the guy was 4-0 and, the guy was 4-0 in June, but the guy gave up like 9 unearned runs.
Yeah.
And, you know, those weren't all the fielders doing. So I do like the defense, but here's the thing about the Hawks. They have all the numbers that if you looked at everything except runs scored and allowed, you would think they were leading the league.
Yeah, they look good on paper. They're just not winning games. And I don't mean to say that their entire defense is bad, just in some spots. I think they could use some work, but we've got to move on. Let's talk about Lotte. Now, I was way off on them. I had them finishing last, and it looks like they're going to be in contention for a playoff spot. Whether it's 1, 2, or 3, we don't know. I still don't like the lack of experience on the pitching side, but I think I see them holding off for a playoff spot. You know, they certainly got my attention and more respect than I gave them at the start of the season.
Well, I like, Ito is a very, you know, very sharp character. He's a very sharp guy when he's the manager, Stomu Ito. He's a very, very smart guy. And he's not too shy about telling you how smart he is, but he has good game plans. He has a lot of very good game plans. And when they work, boy, he loves to talk about them. So you get the impression that they're pretty clever. And I think that's probably accurate. They're playing about as well as one could expect. The Eagles, are they for real? Yeah, they're about as good a team as you could expect. Now the problem is, you know, the thing with the Eagles, they've always shot themselves in the foot. You know, they've always tried to be a team they weren't. These guys seem to be content to just, you know, going out and playing and grinding out every game.
Well, they have to grind it out. I mean, they have Masahiro Tanaka and he's leading, you know, he's got this long winning streak. It's up to 13 now in
yep.
a row. He's 13-0.
This season, right?
And then Norimoto, their number two guy, who's a rookie, who's starting to show signs of wear and tear on the long season. He's pretty good. But after that, they've just got guys who are effectively the same. They're either right-handed or left-handed, and they struggle. Sometimes they come up with a really good game. Sometimes they don't. So I think they're good because they've been showing how good they are with their defense and then by competing well. But I'm not sure that they're a first place team. They're going to have to prove it to me.
I would agree with you. I think that if, you know, do they have a chance to keep, if they keep doing what they're doing, are they going to win the pennant? The answer is no. They have to find another gear, and I don't really see that there. If the Hawks continue to play the way they are, if they continue to do the little things and sort of let the game take care of itself, if they continue to have good at bats and, you know, catch the ball and execute the pitches a little better, they could easily win this, the pennant. I think the Lions too could more or less do what they've been doing.
Yeah, the Lions.
And things will shake out for them. That's without Nakamura.
Right. I'm not counting Nakamura in, although I think they're trying to get him back on the field a little bit. But, that's another team, the Lions, in which I think the pitchers have overachieved a little bit this season, considering they haven't had anything from Hideaki Wakui, their ace. So this is a young pitching staff, some talented hitters, Shogo, Akiyama, Hideto, Asamura, along with Esteban Hamran, they're scoring runs. They're doing everything that they need to do to win games. I'm just not sure that, you know, Ken Togami and Nogami can hold it out the entire season all through the second half. And even if they don't, this is a really good experience for them. And these guys are all young. This team is really going to be good.
I think I like the Lions pitching quite a bit. I like the young guys quite a bit. And of course, Yusei Kikuchi's in there and Makita's in there. So it's not like, we haven't seen some. Kikuchi was quite good at the end of last season. And Makita has been pretty much good since they took him out of the starting rotation. You know, when he was getting no run support and trying to do more, more than he could, and as a rookie. But no, I like the team quite a bit. I think the offense could even be a little bit better. I think the pitching is fine. I think right now I see the Pacific League pennant race is going to be the Hawks and the Lions. The Marines, I guess, can anyone be significantly better? I think the only team that can be significantly better in terms of what they actually put on the field might be the Marines. And I'm thinking of Craig Brazell here.
Yeah.
Notice we didn't once mention the Oryx Buffaloes.
Yeah,
there's probably a reason for that.
Well, I have them down here. I've got Igawa, Nishi, Kaneko. Those are three guys who, in their rotation, they can get it done. But the lineup is just all over the place. The defense is kind of mediocre. I'm not going to count them out because there's a lot of baseball left, but I'm not really – I had them finishing second. I probably should be rethinking that, but I'm going to stay with my pick because everything's still so close in the Pacific League.
Sure. I mean, certainly it's a case that the Fighters too. The Fighters look like – and I didn't put them in there, but I think the Fighters, if they play the way they're playing now, could also, and I say that now as opposed to how they played at the start of the season. Yeah, is that, which is the real Fighters? They're playing very good defense now. They weren't at the beginning of the season. Their pitching is gelling a little bit. They're getting regular, solid starts. Bobby Keppel's back. Wolf's been terrific.
Yep.
So, yeah, I would put those three. I'd love for see the Eagles win this thing. But they're going to need to raise it a notch, and I think I'm not certain they have another notch unless that notch is Andrew Jones.
Yeah,
which could be.
Yeah, we'll see. And for the Fighters, Shohei Nakata only needs two home runs to surpass his career high in home runs. So I mean, he's having a great season. In terms of RBIs, he's got almost 60. And I think his career high is 91. So he and Michelle Abreu have been awesome. Yo has been mostly good. Otani has been exciting, blah, blah, blah. I still don't see the Fighters in the playoffs, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, the only team I don't really see in the playoffs is the Buffaloes. I just don't see it. But the other five teams, I like. I think any of those five teams could win the pennant. So the Pacific League is going to be really, really fun.
All right, let's go to fielding questions. All right, question one is from Brian. He says, why don't they play extra innings in the All-Star game? Is there a limit, or do they just agree ahead of time that after 9 innings, it's a tie?
First of all, they've gone back to playing 3 regular All-Star games, which is excessive. 2 is excessive. 3 is more excessive. So I think the plan is, are you kidding? Do they want 10 innings? Do they want 11? This is not America. These games don't really mean anything except who drafts, whether the sixth place team of the Pacific League drafts before the sixth place team of the Central League. That's the only thing that matters. Who cares? Finish the game at 9 innings, have the hero interviews, name Selmer the MVP, end of story, next game.
Yeah, I think in this case they had game one was in Hokkaido, and they had to fly out the next morning to get down to Tokyo, and that's a long trip, and I don't think anybody was interested in staying later. And because they play these games in different areas of the country, it's hard to travel, so I think we have to take the travel into consideration too.
You can't get to Suskino if the game's ended at 12 o'clock, man.
Right, come on now. And the other thing to remember is in Japan, everything is pretty much public transportation, and these trains stop running around midnight anyway, so you can't play until a game gets decided. It just isn't, it's not realistic. It won't happen. It's not feasible. And Brian has another question. He said, some game notes I found say that Ohtani was the first player to both pitch and play a position in the same All-Star game since 1996 when Ichiro did it. How much did Ichiro pitch in Japan? Was it just the novelty in that one game, or was he really a legitimate pitcher back then?
He was a legitimate pitcher in high school.
Yeah.
I think he at one point in his high school career, he was primarily a pitcher, and then he had a bicycle accident. Apparently a car ran him into a drainage ditch or something. He had a slight injury prevented him from pitching. He moved to first base, which messed up his pitching mechanics, and eventually he drifted more and more towards being an outfielder, and he was drafted as an outfielder, but he always had a gun. Okay, anyway, so Ichiro pitched that one game in the All-Star game. It was the only time he pitched in NPB. However, one time I was at a game in which Ogi was giving one of his frequent lectures to the umpires on how the game should be judged and officiated when Ichiro came in, snuck in from right field and started doing the warm-up tosses from the mound while the pitcher stood there and watched.
So he did have a sense of humor.
Ogi could go on because Ogi didn't have a sense of humor. He had a sense of humor except when it came to the umpires.
But Ichiro had a sense of humor.
Yeah, he did at that point in his career.
All right. Well, Brian, thank you very much for the question. Anyone else who wants to send a question? And don't forget to send MP3s because we love them.
We love them so much. How much do we love them, John?
way much.
Okay, we'll answer that question next week.
All right. So please send your questions or comments to yakyujohn@gmail.com. Or leave us a note on the Facebook page, and we will address them on the show. Good luck to Jose Fernandez. I got a note from him yesterday that said he's coming back to Japan, and then I saw the news that he signed with Oryx, so he's coming back to Japan.
So Oryx won't be holding the Mayo.
Oh, gosh.
Or Mayo.
Yeah, you got to tell people what that means. His name is M-Y-A-O. He goes by Mayo as well as Jose. So
Mayo.
Mayo is how we would pronounce it in Spanish, right?
Yep.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you very much for listening, and enjoy your baseball.
Hasta la vista, baby.